Johnny.
You're listening to 40 Ounces of Horror with your hosts, Chad.
Good evening, Perry.
And James.
Kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul.
Holy Miss Moly, got me alive.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
The power of Christ compels you!
This is my boomstick!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 40 Ounces of Horror podcast. James is already laughing at me for some reason.
I like how you tucked yourself in like you're about to take like a second grade test
and
or something.
I got to get in a comfortable position if we're going to sit here for an hour.
You're going to put up your little divider so nobody can cheat off your test. What were those called?
I don't know.
You know, it had like the cardboard three.
A cheater.
Put up your cheaters.
Anyway, I am Chad.
And I'm James.
That's James. And welcome back to the show. That was Jake that you just heard calling in on Skype. You there, Jake?
I'm here.
There he is. All
welcome
right.
Back to the show.
Yay.
40 Ounces of Horror is the name of the show, if you haven't heard it
that
before.
That is us. First off, I'd like to mention, go to our website at 40OuncesOfHorror.com. We have videos and such there.
And whatnot.
And whatnot. Please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/40OuncesOfHorror. That is
and we're still picking
well,
up,
man.
Yeah, we're still picking up followers. So congrats, guys. I'm glad you guys are hitting the like button.
And it's organic, too. I mean, it's just random people liking. Twitter.com/40OuncesOfHorror. That's where we like to interface with you guys quite a bit.
That's like our message board.
We got some comments from Twitter later on. And if you'd like to contact us, you can reach all of us at contact@40OuncesOfHorror.com, or you can email us individually at Chad
or James
or James at 40 Ounces of Horror.
James at 40 Ounces of Horror.
So let me start with you, Jake. What have you watched recently?
What have I watched recently?
Have you watched anything good, done anything, read anything even?
You know what, I don't read.
That's true.
That's not true. You've read every Calvin and Hobbes book known to man.
That's true. We could do a separate podcast about Calvin and Hobbes.
And
damn, we lost Jake.
And I'm back.
All right, he's back. All right.
We could almost use that Skype sound as a timer for another power hour.
There we go.
This is going well, I think.
Yeah, so anyway, have you seen anything? Good anything to bring up? Now, we know you have an unmentionable. We'll save that for later.
Let's save that.
Jake is finally back with an unmentionable. So,
all right, Jake, so what's going on in Atlanta? What are you doing down there?
Hot.
Well, it's hot here.
Dude, it's hot. I bet you it's hotter here than it is down there.
I don't know.
What was the temperature today?
109.
No.
109.
It only got up to like 98 today. It was like 107 out at the airport.
All I know is I had to use baby sunblock, the spray sunblock, then lead paint over that with an umbrella and black shades. If you ever seen powder, that was me. Jake, are you there?
Damn it.
This is just funny.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, is it pretty hot there? What's the temp there?
I think it reached 102 today.
Yeah, we hit 107 out at the airport the other day.
At the airport, all that tarmac, I'm sure it happens.
Anyway.
It's like putting like your temperature gauge in like a parabolic reflector, being like, it was 700 degrees.
A parabolic?
I'm just going to go with that, Jake.
Excuse, sir.
I'll take your word for it. Anyway, what's up, man? You watch anything?
No, I didn't. I don't have time for that.
Nah,
Jake, what is a parabolic reflector? Parabolic reflector? Hello?
That you can focus on a point to, like, focus all the energy to that one point.
It's like a magnifying glass when you're burning ants?
Kind of like that. So you, like, focus the energy of the sun to this one point, it'd be, like, 10,000 degrees. You're like, that was the high today.
Well, we all learned something new today.
Well, the shooting star just went above this table. The more you know.
All right. Well, James, what about you? You watch anything?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of stuff, actually. Jake keeps teleporting in and out of time, and it's bothering me. You're like in the roaring 20s now. You have some sort of speakeasy.
I don't know if it's his connection or ours.
I just started watching the Millennium box set. I picked that up with Lance Hendrickson. It's created by the guy who did X-Files.
I kind of remember that. Wasn't it a TV show or something?
Yeah. I'm only on the second disc, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. It's a guy who Well, he gave me that look like, heh, doesn't really matter, so I'm going to skip that.
No, you, what's
you
that,
just check it out.
What's the DVD Lance Henderson's we were watching
gonna
last
be
week?
At, Lance Henderson's going to be at Whorehound
yeah,
this week.
Yeah. You were watching something you got picked up at Half Price Books.
The Hitchhiker series.
It's an old TV show on HBO
yeah,
back in the
so
day.
It was so fucking cheesy and great. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's an anthology series from
and
way
it has
back.
The greatest intro of all time.
Yeah. It's
like something that Trent Reznor would jack off to.
Well, I'll throw that in post-production.
There you go. Bump. Bump. God damn it, Jake. What is this? Are these wormholes over there?
You also you had a special review for us, right? You went and saw Magic Mike.
What? I did go see Magic Mike. No, I didn't go see Magic Mike.
I heard you had a thing for Matthew McConaughey.
I don't have a thing for Matthew McConaughey.
Channing Tatum.
The law says you cannot touch. I'll see a lot of lawbreakers here tonight.
Hot damn, James. I'm just like you.
I did not see Magic Mike.
What did you see?
What did I see?
Oh, yeah, you already.
Yeah. I saw Prometheus.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I saw.
We'll get into a little bit more discussion about that in a bit. But Jake, you still there?
Yep.
All right, just make sure. All right, I went and saw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Oh damn, that did come out, didn't it?
Yes. It did. Is it like we thought it was going to be? Very over the top.
I want to know from our listeners, from people who haven't read the book, because let me tell you right now, it is nothing like the book.
It's night and day.
Yeah. I mean, there's some similarities. I didn't hate it. It was all right, but it was just not like the book whatsoever.
So the ending to the book, they didn't do that in the movie.
No, they kind of made up
their
own.
That was the best ending.
Yeah, I know.
That was the best ending.
They kind of made up their own little quick thing. But it was almost like... It was kind of like an old 80s B movie.
Matrix-esque.
Yeah,
fight
it was
scenes.
Like a spaghetti western grindhouse type movie. If it's what that would have been like if they had the effects that we have today.
Yeah.
It was very over the top and ridiculous. Guys I've seen it with.
Would you recommend it though?
I would recommend it. Guys I've seen it that didn't read the book, guys I've seen it with that didn't read the book, they seem to like it. So.
See, I've never read the book, so I think I'd be a good.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, let me tell you the ending for people who haven't read the book. And
no,
Jake, you're not going to read the book. You just said you don't read books.
Well,
because it'll ruin the movie too. Because you're kind of expecting. It kind of explains some.
So
of
does
it.
He?
No.
Okay.
No, just don't say anything about
that. All right.
But it's nothing like the book.
Law says you cannot touch. But I see that law
breaks. But I was
kind
of disappointed just in the fact that I was hoping to see certain aspects of the book in the movie, and I didn't really see a whole lot. Like, the first half of the book is taken care of in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
So it doesn't open up with him at the store?
No. It starts off right when he was a boy. His mom dies like 30 seconds later, and then all of a sudden he's a teenager.
So did you see Trent Reznor as a vampire, though? Because he was a vampire in the movie.
No, I didn't. Maybe, but I didn't know that. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
But other than that, I've just been finishing up some books. I finally finished The Fall, which is that second book in the Strange trilogy.
You still got The Night Eternal.
I still got one more.
It.
I'm waiting to start it. Conqueror Worms and Dead Sea, both Brian Keene books. I finished those, both pretty good.
I've been working on Stephen King, The Secret Window. It's a book that you get from his book club.
It's not The Secret Window because that's a book. No. It's called Secret Windows.
Yeah. But you get it from his book club, and it talks about his writing, how he became a writer, what he likes. All of his short stories are published from him in high school all the way through college. And it talks about how he started Carrie and a lot of his bigger books. And it carries through. And just his whole take on the genre is really fascinating.
Yeah, from what I've read about it, it's really good for people who want to write. Who's interested in writing novels and stuff, and gives some advice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I'm not interested in writing, so I... what else did we want to get into?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me jump into this little bit of news that I have, the only bit of news that I have.
Okay.
We had somebody on Twitter who wanted to talk about summer movies, right?
Right.
Well, I'm looking at you trying to add to this, just going... Yes. No. Yes.
I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm just
okay.
I'm enthralled.
Well, this is going on during the summer. The famous Alamo Draft House in Austin, Texas, is recreating the summer of '82 to celebrate the 30th anniversary of some of the greatest summer movies of all time. I think this is a really, really cool idea, you know, showing all these movies in 35
millimeter.
See,
when you suggested like going back and talking about past summer movies that we've seen, I have no idea what time of the year I saw movies. Like,
dude, but I can tell you all the movies that I saw as a kid in theaters. But anyway,
but do you remember it being summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I wasn't in school.
I saw All Dogs Go to Heaven in the summer, I think.
I saw that, too. I didn't like that, though. But anyway, the movies at the Alamo Drafthouse are going to be showing. All right, you ready for this? These are fantastic movies.
Okay.
82. Ready?
82 movies?
No, the summer of 82. 1982. These are the movies that are anyways, these are the movies that are showing.
It's like, I'm gonna need
at 35mm, Conan the Barbarian, The Road Warrior, Rocky III, Poltergeist, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, The Thing, Halloween 3, Friday the 13th, Part 3 in 3D. Let me take a breath here.
This is fantastic.
I know. The Dark Crystal and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Tron. So all these movies are in 35mm. The only thing that sucks is that Blade Runner wasn't among those movies. For some reason.
Really? I'd rather have that than Tron.
Yeah, me too. For some reason, they couldn't get the permission to screen that film. But I was thinking if they did.
82 was a good year.
I know. It's awesome. But if they decided to do a sequel to that and do the summer of 83, these are some of the movies that I hope that they would show. Mr. Mom, National Lampoon's Vacation, Cujo, and Twilight Zone the movie.
Mr. Mom.
I love Mr. Mom. He's doing the grilled cheeses with the iron, you know. But quick mention is all the badges sold out for the event in like 5 minutes, and it was $80, and it gets you access to all the movies for the
summer. How many movies is that?
It is, and there's a bunch that I didn't even write on here.
Oh, really? So how long does that...
It's for the whole summer, but it's $80 gets you access to all the movies. But they sold out in 5 minutes to all the badges.
Good Lord. So is it like every night, every weekend?
I don't know. Yeah, check out the AlamoDrafthouse.com and check it out.
Oh, so it's like not a regular movie theater, but like where you could drink beer.
Yeah, no, it's the greatest movie theater of all time. you can sit there, you can drink beer. They have awesome chili cheese fries. Apparently, the best chili cheese fries of all time.
So I've heard.
That's what everybody talks about. But
I'm thinking Road Trip.
Yeah,
dude,
I'm
totally down
to go there.
But they're showing all these movies in 35mm, how they should be shown, and you know, dude, $80. I would drop that in a hat.
Hell yeah! Awesome. I mean, hell, you can spend $80 on two movies.
That's all summer. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
to be able to see
awesome.
The Thing and Halloween 3 and, you know, 35mm, that's awesome. And Rocky 3 or The Road Warrior.
I didn't realize that.
We want your gas.
I didn't realize that was such a good year. Gosh, I feel like there was something else I wanted to bring up off the top, but I can't think of anything right away.
And you're looking at me like I should know. I have no idea.
Well, let's get straight into some news, shall we?
All right.
Well, Jake does have. He's working on our news music.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
So how's that going, Jake?
It's going, damn it. It's a lot harder than you think.
You know, what I think is just you typing on an old typewriter going, recording that and making that the music.
I'm not doing a Murder, She Wrote intro. Coming shortly. I'll have one.
You'll have one?
Settle your britches.
All right, so let's start off here. Of course, with some Walking Dead news.
All right. Let's talk about something we haven't talked about before.
Well, it always is new news. I don't rehash news. this one is interesting. Image Comics sent out this simple teaser image.
Is it for the 100th issue?
It is for the 100th. God damn it.
100th?
100th. Okay, we've been having audio issues tonight, so... From like the beginning of the podcast to now, it's been like an
three
hour and a half.
It's been like 3 hours. Drinking time, it's been like 3 hours.
Yeah, so anyway. Yeah. Anyway, Image Comics sent out the simple teaser trailer or teaser image for it is the 100th issue, but it simply states Lucille is coming. Have you seen this?
No.
It is a black page, says nothing but The Walking Dead down at the bottom, but in big letters it says Lucille is coming. And then it says like.
They're working up for a really, really big story arc. The whole story arc was something to fear. There's so much stuff going on with
that.
So
there is absolutely no details on who Lucille is, but she's making her appearance in the 100th issue.
Well, I know there's going to be 12 different alternate covers for the 100th issue.
Yeah, that's old hat. That's
that's all I know. That's an old
hat.
But
yeah,
apparently.
So I don't know who this Lucille is. If she's anything like the governor, we're in for a wild ride.
Maybe she's just some chick named Lucille. Just...
Maybe it's...
Lucille!
Lucille!
So I have no idea.
I'm kind of excited to see the first episode all in black and white coming up here pretty soon on AMC.
Oh yeah, that marathon. Yeah, oh, yeah. That'll be, man, I'm going to be
cool looking.
I'm going to not.
It's going to be like the first episode, but in black and white.
I'm not going to be leaving my couch that whole weekend.
Not me either. Yeah, I'm going to be planted on that.
All right, next bit. Metallica's Kirk Hammett is releasing a book of art and photos of his horror collection. He wants to share his love of horror with the fans.
I think they already did that when they released Saint Anger.
But
or Saint Anus.
So it's a 9x12 art and photo book.
What a horrible picture this is. 9x2.
Art and photo book that shows Kirk's private collection of horror memorabilia. It will also include conversations regarding the importance and personal significance of many of the items. Kirk states that this is my gift to all the horror nerds out there who are just like me. It's been made with great love for all the many characters and movies which guided me through childhood into adulthood and which still keep me on track today. So, huh. I mean, I bring this up because I'm a big fan of Metallica. I think we all are.
Well, he used to have the Mummy guitar.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I think he still plays that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a lot of like different guitars like that, but I didn't realize he was such a horror buff. So I found that interesting. I'd be curious to look at it and see what kind of collections and memorabilia that he has.
Yeah.
Being a Metallica fan, this one I found very interesting, Jake. You probably dig this. AndVinyl.com, I guess, is a company.
Oh, yes. It's awesome.
Is a company that will take your cremated remains and mix the ashes into vinyl records with whatever choice of music you desire. These vinyl records are then given to friends and family after they're completed. So
what do you think about your ashes being made into a vinyl record?
Okay, that's really cool, but it's really actually more morbid than actually putting something's
well, yeah.
What if you played it backwards and your voice came from the grave?
So what if you played it backwards and your body came out from like the vinyl?
Do you play the record backwards and the person speaks to you from beyond the grave? Like,
that would be even awesomer.
Awesomer? You play it backwards. What the fuck, guys? I'm on a record. I'm on a goddamn record. Turn it off. It hurts.
Ozzy rolls. An option, but it's really expensive. Packages start at like €3,000, which is like around like $4,700.
Jeez.
Whoa.
And it allows for 24 minutes, 12 minutes per side, and the company does not assume responsibility for any copywritten material that is submitted.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I find that awesome. They can do crazy stuff with your ashes. You can be turned into a diamond for your wife to wear.
That would be cool. Like, I'd get my ashes turned into a record, and then, like, I'd put all Metallica's music on there, and then Lars Ulrich would sue you guys.
Or I would take your record at Half Price Books and sell it for $2.
James, I'll haunt you from beyond the grave.
You know what Matthew McConaughey has to say about that? Law says you cannot touch. But I see a lot of lawbreakers here tonight. No right. Cops in sight.
That's going to get old. All right.
I got a couple more times on the day too.
Work has begun on Doc of the Dead, a comprehensive new film that will explore zombies on screen and all their manifestations. Shooting is currently underway. The director has already spoken to Shaun of the Dead's Simon Pegg for the film and is shortly to interview George Romero on camera. So, to be what? What's that?
Next.
You have anything to say about that?
No.
Our listeners might be interested in
that. I know, I'm just over the whole zombie documentary
thing. James cares not for the listeners.
I don't know. Is there really a good comprehensive zombie documentary out there?
There was that Zombie Mania one that came out 2 years ago.
I thought there were several of them.
I mean, good ones, though?
Oh, okay. Well, good ones.
I mean, there's more brains, but that's only Return of the
Living
Dead.
Yeah, that's just Return of the Living Dead.
I think it would be interesting, especially in the reawakening of the dead in the past couple years.
That's a good way to put that, the reawakening of the dead.
I just thought of our new movie title.
There you
we're
go.
Gonna shoot on mic.
Oh, fuck!
What?
I forgot. I had like two really good segments because we talked about last time.
Yeah,
like really. Yeah, I forgot to write those down.
All right, next
but
time.
They're hilarious.
All right. Anyway, zombie documentary, Doc of the Dead. All right, and Chucky's back, but only on Blu-ray and DVD. Writer-director Don Mancini will be returning for the sixth film, which will be titled Curse of Chucky. It enters production in the fall. Mancini is vowing to return to the dark horror of the first films, and this sequel will bypass Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky entirely. No Jennifer Tilly.
So I want to see.
You mean boobs?
I'm a big Jennifer Tilly fan.
You're a fan of her personally,
or her assets? I mean,
what she has.
What she has. Hey, wouldn't she become like a big poker star?
What?
Like she like? Yeah, yes, she would.
This is going down here. Like World Poker Tour.
Huh. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know.
Law says you cannot.
Do you want to hear the plot for The Curse of Chucky?
Not really, but you can go ahead.
Not really.
All right, well, let's skip it.
Are they just going to like descend and make Chucky like an app now? He's not even going to be a real doll.
No,
he's like a digital representation of a doll.
I think Chucky's becoming like the new Leprechaun franchise to be like Chucky in space.
Kids, I mean, Chucky in the kids hood. Today, like,
Chucky in
doll.
The hood.
Yeah.
How's a doll?
Chucky and babies are.
Can I play with this? Like, I don't know. Is that digital? Like, I can't change it? What the?
They play with it until they discover smartphones.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, screw the plot. Shooting for Cabin Fever Patient Zero will start on August 13th in Dominican Republic, and there are also plans to shoot Cabin Fever Outbreak in also in the Dominican Republic. So,
but that's sans Eli Roth, though, right?
I believe so, because they made a
second one. The second one was sans Eli Roth,
right? Which is
it's good. It's like it reminded me of an 80s movie.
Yeah, it was pretty cheesy. It wasn't horrible. These are going to be prequels, I believe. Original Cabin Fever producer Evan Ostrowski and his Hypotenuse Pictures is producing Patient Zero with
Ostrowski. Hypotenuse
is producing Patient Zero. Jake Wade Wall wrote Patient Zero screenplay that centers on a bachelor party cruise in the Caribbean and unexpectedly running ashore on a medical research island. A deadly virus is unleashed.
Hey, I keep burping. We forgot to tell everybody what we're drinking.
What are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking a Tall Boy Rolling Rock. What are you drinking?
A 40 ounce of High Life.
Jake, what are you drinking?
I'm enjoying my third or fourth Beck's.
All right.
Beck's.
German
Made
son
German.
Of a bitch.
Yeah, I got my 40 ounces of High Life.
Delicious.
And a little Mountain Dew. The plan is to seg this film into second sequel, Cabin Fever Outbreak, to be penned by Adam and Deborah Marcus. I don't know who they are. But these, I think, are quasi-prequels to the original film. Yeah.
I don't know. I remember the days when people used to write stories and then they'd be made into movies, and now people do remakes or they make prequels and they build their name off that. Kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, the original Cabin Fever was pretty damn good.
It was awesome.
At the time when it came out, it was pretty different.
But I like how Eli Roth made that an homage to a lot of movies. Like, he had the death in Dawn of the Dead, the screwdriver year.
Yeah.
The soundtrack to Last House on the Left was in there. The Cabin, Evil Dead, homage to that. Like,
yeah.
It was a really good movie.
Do you think it's a good or a bad thing, or worse or better, when horror fans make movies?
I think it's good, but it just depends on how you approach it. You have to, you know, it's not style over substance.
Those homages are cool for the fans, like diehards. But sometimes it gets a little.
But you want a lot of substance to it, though.
I mean,
if you're going to bring something to
the
table,
if you're going to build a movie around all these like different. Hey, I remember that from this, and I remember that from this, and that's kind of like that. Yeah. It takes away from the story sometimes. Why can't anybody just be original and do their own thing?
Yeah.
And not...
But he did that with Cabin Fever, though. That was original.
Yeah, it was original, but like you said, there was a lot of play on the older movies.
Yeah, but not a lot of people knew that unless you were a big horror
buff.
That's
true. That's true.
But I think a lot of people do.
Although, I'm being kind of hypocritical because I liked Cabin in the Woods so much.
Yeah.
And they did that a lot, and I even wanted a little bit more. So I don't know. I mean, I just want something new and different and something that completely shocks me. I mean, Cabin in the Woods was awesome, but we've seen it.
Dude, this year is a fantastic year for horror, you know, with Cabin in the Woods, and then we have Your Next coming out soon.
Yeah.
It's just there's a lot of really, really great things and big things on the horizon.
I'm interested in seeing VHS when that finally
released. Yeah. And you see the poster, new poster for that got released?
Yeah.
It looks like Visiting Hours, the Michael Ironside. Yeah. We talked about that earlier. That looks awesome.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm just still waiting for that next big thing.
It'll happen.
And speaking of the next big thing, this is not it.
I unzip my pants.
It was just announced that a sequel to Gareth Edwards' Monsters is set to lens later this year, titled Monsters: Dark Continent.
Is this the Monsters that we saw earlier?
It was just like
the shitty movie.
It wasn't. I don't want to say it was completely shitty, but it was.
It wasn't shitty, but it was, but
really
it was like, you know, it was like a dark pee.
What?
I'm so, glad. I'm glad you somehow got that a little bit.
I have a synopsis for that, but do you care to hear it?
You go ahead.
7 years on from the events of monsters in the infected zones have spread worldwide. Humans have been knocked off the top of the food chain with disparate. I think it's supposed to be desperate.
I think just add in a word. Say they got shingles.
Off the top of the food chain with communities struggling for survival. American soldiers are being sent abroad to protect U.S. interests from the monsters, but the war is far from being won. So it doesn't sound like anything too amazing there. Monsters had some good spots in it, but it was kind of boring. It was almost like a monster love
movie. It's nothing that I would revisit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't revisit it.
It was almost like they wanted to like make you feel bad for the monsters, I think, is what they're shooting for.
Feel
like,
bad for the viewer.
I don't need monster empathy.
Yeah. that's a good one for the
quote
page.
I got enough problems of my own.
I don't need no monster empathy.
Yes, you do, Boshin.
All right, and come back full circle to more Walking Dead. Image Comics, in partnership with Titan Magazines, are getting ready to launch the first issue of the official magazine for The Walking Dead. The magazine will be released on a quarterly basis, and the first issue is set for release on October 23rd, just in time for the AMC premiere of Season 3.
You know what? When I first heard about this, I didn't like it at all, but then I realized, I was like, well, they released the Twilight Zone magazine, and I was all about that.
Inside,
so
will be,
now I'm like, okay.
Inside will be loads of sweet details about Robert Kirkman's series, behind-the-scenes looks on the TV show, and plenty more about the Undead Wanderers. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool because it's a throwback. Because I remember when we were kids, they had like random ass magazines. I had a subscription.
They had a Rocky magazine.
I had a subscription to ALF magazine. So, so I don't know. It'd be pretty cool. It's only quarterly. It's not like it's a monthly thing.
That's true.
So it'd be pretty cool. It's just like,
I'll check it out. I mean, I'm at,
you know, it's
Barnes
just a
Noble
worth
an
inside look.
I don't know, man. I love just like.
Do you think it's getting out of hand?
That's one of the things that I was kind of like, I don't want to be bombarded by it every single day. Like,
but Jake,
like,
the
oh,
thing is like,
new issue of Walking Dead, and you're like, yeah, behind the scenes. Like, I love the illusion of that it's real. Like, all the walk, like the behind the scenes stuff. Yeah, it's interesting, but I want to see that after the series is done.
But Jake, yeah, it's gonna get so much better.
Then I want to watch the behind the scenes.
I do agree with you. I never really put it on into words, but yeah, I do agree with you. When I see all those behind the scenes videos and everything online, I'm like, I kind of want to just wait until after the season to watch that kind of stuff. I mean, it's interesting, but I don't want to get anything ruined for me yet.
It's like I was reading somewhere, like talk about character typecasting, and somebody was watching a movie. And it was a serious role, and all of a sudden, like, Al Bundy is, like, on the screen. And everybody in the theater start busting out laughing. It's like a courtroom scene. And it's like,
what's
okay,
wrong with Al Bundy?
Shattered.
Well, because he's Al Bundy, you can't really take him seriously.
Right.
That man's a jiu-jitsu black belt,
like, coming up next week, Walking Dead, and all these behind the scenes of, like, oh, yeah, hey, we're getting ready to shoot this scene. And, you know, Glenn's sitting there talking and, you know, talking it up. And I'm just like, okay, it's just, it's ruined now.
Yeah, it kind of takes you out of it. And the movies do that sometimes where they'll do something
like
to where
right now, like right now, I've really – like this upcoming weekend that they're going to be showing like this, you know, Walking Dead weekend thing, I'm going to be really kind of nervous watching it. Like I just want to watch the episodes. I don't want to watch the extra bullshit that goes on in there because, again, it's going to ruin it for me. Of all this stuff, other stuff coming up is like coming up in, you know, season 3 and it's got all these preview pictures. And it was like, hey, we're, you know, we're hanging out at the prison here. And I was like, fucking, I don't want to know.
Yeah, it's like when you're watching a movie.
Of the reality that is Walking Dead, of the zombie apocalypse.
It's just, it's
I don't
like
want to see, you know, you hang, you know, I don't want to see Dale hanging out at craft services.
It's like, and I think we've talked about this before, is like when you're watching a movie that you're so, totally submersed in, and then all of a sudden they give a phone number and they say 555. Totally ruins the effect.
Yeah.
Takes you out of the movie immediately.
Why doesn't a movie company just take some of the budget, buy a number, and if somebody goes, ooh, I'm going to be funny and prank this person, dials the number, and you get like an insider thing about the movie. Like,
yeah.
It's just like the director's like, hey.
I've always hated that. You could always you can totally be into the film, and then they say 555, and immediately you're back and you remember that it's fake.
It's gone.
Yeah. The
illusion's gone.
Yeah.
Somebody should do something about this. I don't know if, like, I should buy a bunch of numbers and then, like, license them to movie companies. And
that sounds like a million-dollar idea, Jake.
Delete this from the podcast. I don't want anybody here.
That sounds like, seriously, a million-dollar idea. The same person who created Post-it Notes had the same conversation years ago.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. I only got a couple more things. This is from L4D.com.
Oh.
Oh. After months, cough.
Yeah. Years.
Anyway, after a year of playtesting, not just the Coldstream campaign on PC, but the entire download DLC. Does anybody understand what I'm saying right now?
Run with it.
They've been playtesting this new campaign called Coldstream for the PC. They're ready to release it on the Xbox 360.
I'll believe it when I see it.
The date will be July 24th.
I'll believe it when I see it.
There are some other surprises, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, they're coming out with a new campaign for Left 4 Dead on Xbox 360, something we've been waiting for. I don't know how many of our listeners play the game. It's an amazing game.
It's phenomenal.
We're obsessed with it.
Actually, at the end of this podcast, we should give out our gamer tags.
What day is it coming out, Jay?
I don't know. Whatever Chad said, but
July 24th.
They've given so many dates
I'll get my new Xbox 360 July 23rd.
You know, I'll believe that when I see it too. Jake, I actually sent you. I emailed you that link where they had. It was a brand new black Xbox. I don't know why it's black. It's black.
Why's it got to be black? No,
it's got to be black. Black's better than white.
Is it a bigger Xbox?
It's a bigger Xbox. It's got a lot more memory, and it comes with a Kinect. I mean, it is, you know, it's decked out. For $99, and that included Xbox Live. That was a hell of a deal.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Okay, now this is a snowball that's going downhill real fast.
I posted that YouTube video or on Facebook of the black screaming dolphins from Family Guy.
What's going on, man? Oh my god. Oh, what is going on? This is so surreal right now.
Anyway,
this is great.
I can't wait to listen to that because I do a horrible black man impression.
Chad's black man impression is him just sitting on his nuts going, hey! That's all it is. There's nothing else to it. All
right. Anyway, what'd you say about gamer tags?
I said at the end of this podcast we should give out our gamer tags. Okay, what's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is a funny spelling of metalhead.
It's meth head.
Everybody calls me meth head on there. It's METLHED. And everybody's like, you know, all the 6-year-old kids that are on there playing and beating my ass are like, meth head? I'm like, no, it's metalhead. I need to change it. Is it metalhead or metalhead 80? I think it's metalhead 80. Or metalhead.
I think it's metalhead. What?
Just metalhead?
80? Metalhead 80.
Is it 80? Is the 80 on there? METLHED 80. So if anybody out there plays this game, you can look it up.
So it's metalhead. So when we start playing. You know, Left 4 Dead and get back into it. We had a pretty core group for a while. We were kicking ass.
Yeah, the guys over at Dead Pixels played with us for a while.
Yeah.
Or we played with them because I just followed along while they beat the zombies' ass.
But we played on Expert the whole time, though.
What's your gamer tag there?
Bugsy Cat. And that is spelled exactly how it sounds. Capital letters, BUGSY, Bugsy, Cat, CAT, Bugsy Cat. I can't make this up. You know how I got that name? Because I have a cat, and his name is Bugsy. Hence the name Bugsy Cat.
I think the best of them is Jake. What's your gamer tag?
It's Monkwaz.
So you have Metalhead / Methhead, Bugsy Cat, and Monkwaz.
MONKWAZ.
which
has been Jake's email for years. Where did Monkwaz come from?
No idea. It's lost to history.
Anyway,
there are scholars looking for the origins of Monkwaz as we speak, going through tomes of book.
the elders are looking for the. All right. Anyway, last piece of news for me.
All right.
This is de-escalating quickly.
Okay.
Zombies versus strippers. This is
That sounds very one-sided.
This is my synopsis.
That sounds like a 5-minute movie.
This is my funny synopsis for this episode. I ended it with this. And apparently my copying and pasting sucks because I copied light gray onto a white background so I can't really read it. All right, here it is. Zombie versus strippers. Synopsis. The Tough Titty is a strip club.
And you created this, the Tough Titty. You would go to an establishment called the Tough Titty.
Probably.
That sounds like a really bold bike establishment. A lot of NASCAR fans in there.
There might be some vampires there, too. The Tough Titty is a strip club that's seen better days, but tonight it's going to see a whole lot worse. Spider has been losing money on his business for years. Now it's finally getting the traffic he's always wanted. Unfortunately, most of his patrons are undead. With a sudden outbreak of the zombie virus, Vanilla, Bambi, and Sugar Hills deal with the disaster the way only a stripper can. Blood and brassieres go flying in the exciting horror comedy.
Looks like this little lawbreak is here tonight.
I don't see any police around.
I don't see any cops around.
All right, all right, all right. All right.
Is it bad that I just want to watch that clip again? I don't know why, but that clip is so funny to me when he says that. All right, so just because I think this is so funny, and Chad and I are probably the only people, but I'm going to play this clip. I think it's really funny, so here it is. Oh, it's not working.
All right, we'll skip that entirely. All right. James, let's try to get the ball back on track here.
All right.
Get some your DVD releases.
Man, this has been a tough episode. Technical difficulties, my friend. Technical difficulties. All right, getting into the DVD, VOD, Blu-ray releases. Michael Myers is back, like the fucking McRib, if you haven't heard. And he's never looked better. On August 28th, Anchor Bay Entertainment revamps two of the most iconic horror films to ever grace the big screen. That's questionable, but, you know, it's a good series. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, and Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. Last podcast I talked about Halloween 3 and Halloween 2 coming back, so it's good to see this whole series come back. The classics will be coming back to Blu-ray with all new HD features, over an hour of both archival and newly created bonus features, which, that's really, really cool.
Which, you know, I said last time that I was happy with having 1 and 2 on Blu-ray, because I didn't think they would ever come out with 3, and I didn't think there was much of a chance there would be 4 and 5 on Blu-ray.
And now we got
the whole damn series I gotta go and rebuy.
So, there's a lot of stuff on here, so I'm just gonna skip through kind of like the meat and potatoes of it. Bonus features for Halloween 4 include deleted alternate scenes, 30 minutes of new scenes. That's blows my mind right there. 30 minutes of new scenes. That's fantastic. Audio commentary and director by Dwight H. Little, Austin, blah, 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 blah. Skipping through it. Audio commentary with actors Eli Cornell, Daniel Harris. Audio commentary with writer Alan B. McElroy. Halloween 4 and 5, discussion panel and theatrical trailer.
Yeah.
Shit. God damn it. I fucking hate this. Burp all time. Bonus features for Halloween 5. Audio commentary. Director Dominique Arthurin.
You know,
Gatorard.
You really don't have to say their names. I mean,
well, how do you pronounce this? Dominique. Othenin-girard.
You spell it too quick. I can't. I have to write it down.
I'm going
to
give her a last name. Dominique Smith. Dominique Smith. And actress Daniel Harris. Jeffrey Landon. Audio commentary. Blah, blah, blah. Original promo. New Halloween 5 on the set footage. And 17 minutes of additional new footage for Halloween 5.
You know, maybe some of that additional footage will explain some of the crap about, like, that group that, like, kidnapped him or whatever.
Well, that was in 6.
Was it 6?
No, the end of 5, actually.
End of 5 is what happens. I really understood that.
So you got 30 minutes of new scenes for 4, which is fantastic, and then 17 minutes for...
No, wait. It's the end of 4 into 5. The end of 4 into 5, right? Because 6 is
30 minutes of... Wait.
Hold on. The whole kidnap thing, the jailbreak at the end?
Yeah, that's the end of 5, and that goes into 6.
Are you sure it's not the end of 4 and into...
No,
because
the
end of
4
is
he gets shot into the gravesite.
The end of 5 is when she is messed up in the clown suit, right? Like, she stabs
her. I don't know, man. I've had a lot to drink. So regardless, 30 minutes of new scenes for 4, 17 minutes of new scenes for 5. I'm not exactly sure how much this next box set will cost, but I'm sure it can't top the Dark Shadows box set. How much was that, like $700?
I don't think it was quite that much. I think it was like 5 or 6.
Well, only $600. still, I imagine it'll be worth it to many of you cinephiles out there. The Alfred Hitchcock Masterpiece Collection looks like it will get a gorgeous box set of suspense. I can't read. I'm so drunk. Out of the 15 films included in the set, only Psycho and North by Northwest have previously been released on Blu-ray. I actually have Psycho and North by Northwest. I don't have North by Northwest on Blu-ray, but I have it on DVD. The set is out on September 25th, so you'll have a few months to save up hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get this box set. Digitally restored from the high-quality film elements and presented in a perfect high-definition picture and sound, Alfred Hitchcock The Masterpiece Collection brings the master of suspense's best work to home audiences that's never been seen before. Yada, 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 yada. 13 films available in this box set, a collectible 50-page book featuring storyboards, very cool, costume sketches, correspondence, photographs, and much, much more, and a treasure trove of over 15 hours. Yes, 15 hours of documentaries, filmmaker commentaries, interviews, screen tests, trailers, a new documentary.
You sound like Jim Rome. Get through this one.
A new documentary, The Birds, Hitchcock monster movie. It's enough to satisfy anybody. So I couldn't talk about all fucking 13 movies that were in the box set. That's stupid. Okay, moving on.
So it's going to be an expensive box set.
Yeah, but that's a lot of a lot of content. Tim Burton's Ode to Schlock director Ed Wood is finally making its way to Blu-ray September 18th.
One of my favorite movies.
Specs and bonus material have not been released yet, although on Amazon you can get a peek at some early DVD blue cover art.
What is it about that movie that's so great? I don't know.
I think it's Johnny Depp's portrayal of him.
Yeah, I mean, it is
pretty
good.
Over the top, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't know. It's such a good movie. I just love that movie.
No, it's fantastic. Lace up your boots, throw in your mouth guard, motherfuckers, and watch your Blu-ray DVD player get kicked in the fucking dick. The Raid Redemption is back. And it is roundhouse kicking and throat punching its way to your house August 14th.
I have mine pre-ordered.
Courtesy of Sony Home Pictures Entertainment, the special features for this magnificent, glorious testosterone and heartfelt man movie are...
Heartfelt.
Commentary. It is very heartfelt. I love that movie. Commentary with director Garth Evans. An Evening with Garth Evans. It's like fucking dinner and a show or something. Behind the Music. Yes, Behind the Music, so it's like a VH1 special. Anatomy of a Scene, Hard Shoot, Score, Stunts, Themes,
oh
Inside the Score, Clay Cats, The Raid, and The Raid TV show ad. If you guys remember, Chad and I raved about how much we love this movie. If you were lucky enough to catch it in theaters, you know what we mean. If I were you, I would highly pre-order this on Amazon for the price of $24.96.
I've already pre-ordered mine.
Pre-ordered mine.
And I highly recommend, if anybody's getting this movie, and I've already planned this, get all you guys... Just get together one night on a big screen, all the dudes.
Drink beer, eat ribs.
Yeah, and just sit down
do
and watch this fucking movie.
Just put in
because
work.
It is a fucking testosterone-filled thrill ride.
It's awesome. Chad and I are grown-ass men, and we walked out of the mall looking at each other, and we were shadowboxing each other in the parking lot. And then some lady almost hit me. And then Chad and I stared at her in our minds. I jump kicked through the back window, pulled her out, got her in an arm lock. While Chad flipped over the car, did something else, something with a roundhouse kick.
This movie is fantastic. Jake, you would absolutely love this movie. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I haven't seen it, so I need to go.
You must do it. It doesn't come out till August. It sucks. You got to wait so long for the...
So, ladies and gentlemen, August 14th, pick up The Raid Redemption.
Good.
You can pre-order that now on Amazon. Do it. And that is my DVD, Video On Demand, Blu-ray releases.
Finally.
Got through it. There we go.
All right, that was long-winded.
Hey, it needed to be done for this episode.
All right, Jake, quickly. We finally... Well, what we were going to do was talk about summer movies, but you kind of did that. There's really we're kind of in the middle of summer. Let's first talk about Prometheus.
Phenomenal. Prometheus is the prequel to the Alien series. So there's Alien.
Now, did you think did it have more or less connection to Alien than you thought?
Well, it wasn't a connection to Aliens until the end.
It was, but you could see where the connections to Alien were earlier in the movie. I mean, there's a lot of...
What are we talking about with David the Android and going
all
the
way through? Well, there's the Android, there's the Elders.
There's one thing I noticed about the Android is that... who's the guy who plays the Android?
Michael Fassbender.
Mass Effect. Stupendous. I think I said Fagbender. It's tough to do this when you're drunk. But Michael Fassbender was phenomenal in the movie. Fagbender.
I'm deciding whether or not to edit that out right now.
No, you keep that in. But I really liked his portrayal of David. But when I think about the whole series as a whole, like, the android was so clean cut, and if you keep going down when it gets to Bishop with Lance Hendrickson, mm-hmm. it's so dirty and grimy. Like, you can definitely see, like, a progression where it's clean cut and it goes all the way down, even through the actors that play. I don't know if they did that intentionally, but all the actors from Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, all the way down.
I think it's their older models later or something. You know what I mean? They're kind of broken down maybe a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, but I really liked how they did
the
that.
The thing is, here's the thing, and I said this last time, and I said it right after the movie. I think Alien, for fans of the Alien franchise, will like it, but I think it stands alone as a great sci-fi epic if you don't question it. Here's the thing. This movie has been through the ringer the last several weeks.
This is one of those movies where you can take a face value, or you could just dig into it.
People say there's so many unanswered questions, but I think they're digging too far in the wrong places. There are some unanswered questions, but I also believe that they're coming out with sequels to it that will still be prequel to Alien franchise.
But I feel like even if they didn't do a sequel to it, I still think it has enough on its own to carry itself from there to Alien.
I agree.
Because, like we talked about this before, I don't think everything needs to be closed book.
It's really hard to deconstruct this movie without giving out spoilers. And the movie's still fresh, so I don't want to give away too much.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, Jake has not seen it. So, like, it's so in-depth. You can let it be in-depth, or you can just take it what it is. Yeah. And it's a fun sci-fi movie just to watch. But
it's visually stunning.
I mean, there are companion books coming out. There are videos online all over the place that describe things, people talking about their own theories. I mean, as far as theology goes, whether or not God or Jesus was one of the elders, or if the engineers or the crucifixion of Christ is what pissed him off, or is what – I don't know. There's a lot of things. It's a lot about the beginning of man and
– or what you think or what they
exactly.
think.
Exactly. And you can put your own theories in there. Man, Jake, you'd probably have a field day with this once you start watching, because here's the thing. I'm going to put a link to a video on the website that I watched earlier, and it's like 15 minutes long, and it's just one guy's opinion going through basically saying, okay, this is what they meant. And if you think it's something else, then just shut up. You're reading too deep into it. And, I mean, it's just this guy's opinion, but I happen to agree with a lot of it. But I know people are wanting to hear what our thoughts are on this, but I loved it. I thought it's a great standalone movie. Do not read too much into it, because there are going to be some unanswered things that may not make sense. But it just depends. They do make sense. It just matters on whether you catch it or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I think at the same time, though, I think you can still watch that movie, enjoy it. But I like being able to dive into movies like that and really dissect them and talk about them with people.
Yeah, and it's really
rough. This will be one of those movies that we'll meet people at conventions and we'll have
hours and hours of discussion about it. And it's also a movie that you can go back and watch, and you'll catch new things. Yeah. I mean,
but if you see the movie, you have to see it in 3D IMAX. It is so visually stunning that it's phenomenal that way.
It's fantastic. So that's my thoughts on Prometheus. I loved it, like I said. Just have fun with it, watch it, and if you can find things in there that you can deconstruct, do it with
somebody that actually watched the Alien trilogy or the Alien quadrilogy or anthology.
Yeah, I mean, just don't let yourself dig things. And I hate that about movies, man. Just don't dig too far. This movie is meant to be dug into. Obviously, I mean, there's a lot to deconstruct.
Well, it's an hour and 50 minutes long, but Ridley Scott cut an additional hour and a half off of it.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of things that I saw in the movie where I was like, well, how did it lead to that?
Yeah.
Or how did David find this?
Yeah, and it's there if you know where to look, and not everybody's going to catch it. So, but that's what is great about it. When you go back and talk about it like this, you'll hear other people's theories, and be like, oh, okay, yeah. So, and as far as just being a movie and a sci-fi movie, it's epic. It's one of the greatest. I mean, they don't make sci-fi movies like that too often anymore. So definitely go see it.
Yeah, but it's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Finally, Jake is here.
Yes.
And after months and months of promising to have one of his unmentionables, he is here to have an he has an unmentionable.
So, Jake, you have a movie to talk about.
Movie.
So hopefully this doesn't cut out too bad, or it's kind of acting up a little bit. So, Jake, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Chad, for this week. One, my unmentionable will be on 100 million BC.
100 million BC.
100 million BC.
Not to be confused. Yeah.
What, 10 million BC or whatever?
10,000 BC.
10,000 BC, yeah.
Yeah, this movie's much older.
Yeah. I don't want to call into, like, the scientific accuracy that Asylum Pictures thinks that they have, but I believe the dinosaurs were around like this at 100 million BC. But anyway, like I said, it's an Asylum picture, not to be confused with the same, you know, sci-fi pictures or, you know.
Yeah, Asylum and sci-fi are separate, but they make the same damn movies.
It's the same effing movie. It's the same stuff. Okay, so they tried to capitalize on a kind of incredible, like, roster of actors, like, right off the front. You know, it was like Michael Gross, who probably know who that is, Chad.
Yes, from Tremors and Family Ties. Yeah. I have his autographed.
Of course you do. Christopher Atkins. Chris Atkins. You know who that is?
Christopher Atkins. Sounds familiar. Isn't he a country singer?
He was in Blue Lagoon.
Oh, I didn't see Blue Lagoon.
Come on. He was also in Dallas. You probably didn't see that. But,
well, so is he the blonde dude that sees Brooke Shields naked?
Yeah, good for him. Good for that man.
And then they had I always forget how to pronounce his name. Greg Evigan?
I like how you're reviewing a shitty movie and you're worried about pronouncing people's names right.
Greg Kinnear?
No, Greg Evigan. He was in, what was it, BJ and the Bear? He was in Tech War.
No idea. So,
BJ and the Bear. Fantastic, Jake.
He was also in My Two Dads.
Oh, okay. Not Paul Reiser, the other dad.
Yeah, okay. So as you can see, 100 million BC.
The other guy that looked like Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He had the incredible mullet going.
Yeah.
So you look at it, you look at the cover of this movie, and you're like, okay, giant-ass Tyrannosaurus getting ready to eat a tank. There is the dad from Family Ties, the naked dude from Blue Lagoon, and the guy with the mullet from My Two Dads. How could it be wrong? It goes very wrong, right from the beginning. Like, the opening scene is like this modern day Los Angeles montage where it's like this, like, Michael Bay music, and all these dudes are like sitting in their vehicles on the side of a road, and they look like they're getting ready to go on a hit. Like, like they have their big aviator sunglasses on, they're all looking very serious and very important. And they keep looking at their watches, and all their watches are like 1:59. And then it goes to the next dude in his car, and he looks down at the radio on his dash. It's like 1:59. 1:59. And then the next dude, one. And this goes on for all the guys sitting in the row. They're like, we just want to get you aware that there's a lot of people waiting at 1:59 in their cars. And then it goes to 2:00, and then it has that, like, hackneyed scene of, like, all the doors open simultaneously and all of them step out at once. And the guys are kind of like, they high-five each other and give the nod.
Woo! 2:00. 2:00, let's do it, fellas. Who wants wings?
They're going to, like, pull a heist on, like, Fort Knox or something. They're going to, like, knock over this, you know, this government facility. And no, they walk into, like, the Navy SEALs rec room with, like, a bunch of leather couches and, like, a foosball table. And, like, they have, like, a sit-down meeting.
Like, the Navy SEALs have a rec room where they sit down and play foosball.
So they're all, like, intense waiting for their 2:00 meeting.
Exactly. The 2:00 meeting, guys. Let's roll into this bitch. But we gotta look all badass. Okay, so Michael Gross plays Dr. Frank Reno. He's an aging scientist who spearheaded the fabled Philadelphia experiment way back in World War II. And apparently, like, the story of the Philadelphia experiment is like time travel or something like that, but they find this wormhole to, like, 70 million BC. It's not 100 million BC, I know. It's just, you know, continuity errors all over. So they send these Navy SEALs. They're supposed to go, like, to rescue the original team that was sent back in the past, and this guy, this, you know, Michael Gross' character was supposed to be part of this original team, but so he sends his brother, Eric, which is Christopher Atkins, back to the past, so he's got to go rescue him now, all this. So they walk into this, like, it's supposed to be this million-dollar, billion-dollar government you know, top secret wormhole agency where they create this, you know, wormhole to go back in the dinosaurs. And they walk into, like, the most dilapidated warehouse I've ever seen. Got windows and graffiti and bum piss in the corner. And all of a sudden there's a fucking Stargate right in the middle of this. And, like,
Stargate?
Like, it looks like it's, like, the worst CGI ever. And then, like, and, like, the funny thing is, like, I've read a bunch of funny reviews on this already. And nobody mentions this fact that there's one black guy. As the Navy SEALs, I'm like, okay, I can already see what's going to happen here. Like, he's like this gung-ho, and everything is ADR. I don't know if you know what ADR is, but it's like after-the-fact recording.
Yeah.
None of it is on location, so it's all dubbed. And so it's like really awful recording, for one. And like the main guy, like their main Navy SEALs head or boss or whatever, in one scene he kind of turns to everybody, and he mouths lock and load, but the voiceover is like, lock and load! He didn't even say it at that volume. That's just anyway, so they're all like holding like really small caliber MP5s and little like assault rifles. I'm just like, man, if I'm going back in 70 million BC, I'm taking a fucking rocket launcher with stopping power. So they send the black guy through first. Shocked.
The only black guy, by the way.
Guy. And guess what happens on the other side of the portal?
A T Rex.
He teleports into a tree.
So he gets morphed into the tree?
Morphed into the tree. Like they pan over like all this dramatic music and you see his face like all contorted in part of the tree. Appeared in the tree and became an integral part of the tree. And of course, like, what happened to the white guys? Oh, they were just fine. Yeah. Like, stubbed toe, and that was it. So they're taking off, and, you know, predictably they run into the odd dinosaur or the acid spitting plant. And I mean, there are so many cutscenes of like cycled images, like the same guy going, "Get over here!" And you see no muzzle flash and no recoil, but you hear like tat, 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 tat. I'm like, most of these movies are bad, but done like they're terrible, but they're good at being
Jake,
terrible.
The whole experience just sounds horrible. Yeah. Horrible. I am so glad you sat through this, because I would never. Well, I would have to break out the 15-minute rule for this.
What made you pick this movie?
It was kind of a roulette thing, really. And I lost. I'm not very good at gambling, so.
Well, Jake, in this segment, you will always lose. And that's why we love you for it.
You know, you're right. In this segment, there is no winner.
So is there a big climax and big finale for this?
Oh, there is. Yeah, of course. So they meet up with their, you know, 1950s people that they sent through. Never mind the fact that they don't look 1950s whatsoever. You know, they look 2000s. How they, you know, when the movie was shot, there's all like, you look like Hollister models.
That's hilarious.
So the wormhole opens and into Los Angeles, and they sneak back in, but then like this big dinosaur they call Big Red follows them. So he's running around Los Angeles. This poorly CGI dinosaur is running around. Going, rawr, rawr.
And, like, the CGI dinosaur with Jake's voice going.
So for some reason, they think that Christopher Atkins running down the street will get the dinosaur to chase him back into the wormhole. But the funny thing is, like, they don't clear the streets of people, like, when they're filming him running through the streets in the middle of the night. And there's, like, bums standing on the side of the street looking at this guy running down the street supposedly being chased by a dinosaur. The dinosaur's nowhere near them. It's like they show Christopher running down the street, and then they'll show, like, a cutscene of a dinosaur going, rah! And then Christopher running down the street again, looking all sweaty. And it's ridiculous. It's so bad. Like, it could be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It could be.
Could be.
Until your next movie.
Okay, it's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Until 200 million years BC.
I mean, I wouldn't even recommend it to watch it for the laugh.
That would be, 200 million BC would be a prequel.
200 million years BC. That's why shit is so bad. That should be the
so
second.
So is it the worst unmentionable you've done, or is there something worse? It is the worst.
This is by far the worst.
This is worse than your one other mentionable, which was Monsterd.
Yes, this ranks a new low.
Monsterd is pretty awesome.
Did you watch Monsterd?
No. All right. So now you don't have to watch 100 Million BC because Jake already watched it for you.
Thank God, Jake. Jake, we love you so much. Thank you for doing that.
Hit
the man's music.
This sucks more than anything that has ever sucked before.
What in the hell?
All right. Before we go, we got a few Twitter followers or comments and such. Kind of comment here from at Tiny Hats. I saw Theater Bazaar. It's a shitty anthology movie. Although the Kareem Hussein story was original and great as usual with him. I have not watched this because it just looks horrible. Have you seen it?
No, but which one is the one that Tom Savini did? Tom Savini did a story in it.
I have no idea. Maybe it is that one. Kareem Hussein. No, that's not. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
But it'll be on Netflix here pretty soon.
Probably. Horror stuff from Bob the Brobot. Can't wait for the upcoming remake of Vampire in Brooklyn with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Is that real?
No. No, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
No, I actually wrote him back.
Did you?
Who was the guy in... I can't think of anybody's name. Okay. Rush Hour. Jackie Chan.
Chris Tucker.
I said it should be Chris Tucker that does... Vampire in Brooklyn.
So they are doing the remake of Vampire in Brooklyn?
No, they're not.
Oh.
He
was just being funny?
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You still there, Jake?
I'm here.
All right. It's from him again, at Horror Stuff. Watched The Raid last night because of you guys. Great stuff. Cabin in the Woods is still tops for 2012, in my opinion.
That's true.
To agree. I'm glad that the movies we're watching is getting out there, and they're watching because I'm glad that he watched The Raid. Because I want to spread the word on that movie.
There you go.
It's fantastic. from at N. Seibel, Mr. Nick Seibel. I hate when rappers make cameos in horror movies. Busta Rhymes in Halloween, Redman in Chucky, # trick or treat motherfucker.
It wasn't Coolio in Dracula 2000.
Was he?
No, that was a question.
No, that was Aaliyah.
No, it wasn't Aaliyah. Aaliyah was in... that Anne Rice
Dan.
Movie.
The Dan. Prince
yeah.
of the Dan.
Queen of the Dan.
Queen of the Dan, yeah. Thanks, Jake. Green Captain, 40 Ounces of Horror, what are the sneakiest or most clever ways you've drank or hidden alcohol? This is the and answer portion of this show.
I already put two.
Yeah.
I tweeted him back when I was drunk earlier in the day. But I said you could take an orange and inject that with vodka, and that could be a fantastic lunch. Or you could take like a Speedway cup or a McDonald's cup, empty that up, fill it halfway with ice, drop a cold can of beer in there, put a top on it, open it up, put a straw in there. So you're really just drinking a beer, but it looks like
My dad's used that trick many times at my little league games.
Andy.
The fruit thing is actually pretty popular. You can fill a watermelon up with Everclear.
If there's somebody bringing an entire watermelon to eat...
Now you,
for one
you
setting.
Cut a little hole in the watermelon, you put the bottle of Everclear in there, and you let it soak in overnight.
Well, you know what some people do? They'll just take a loaf of bread, and they'll just cut a hole and just put a pint in there, and then fill it back in.
Jake, what is the sneakiest or most clever way you've ever drank or hidden alcohol?
At work.
At work. How did you sneak it?
I get this big blue cup. It's like this big, like, thick plastic cup. I just pour it in there, walk around and drink it.
No shame, this man. No shame.
Fair enough.
No shame.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything really sneaky. A vodka and a water bottle is pretty... Oh! My grandpa used to take those old Travel Sunny D bottles. Like, the small... He'd drink half the... the Sunny D and then pour in vodka. So we had
little miniature screwdrivers.
Little mini screwdrivers to go.
That's awesome.
Which you can do with any, you know, travel drink or something.
I can't really think that we hit anything.
No, but one is could also be kind of a booze and gone bad story. We were at a party, and I believe this was you and Jake were up to these shenanigans.
Whoa!
You talked our buddy Aaron into doing shots with you. Oh, you just kept terrific. You guys were doing shots, cranking the shots back. But you kept filling his shot with, you know, actual liquor. But you guys were taking shots of water.
Oh yeah, we're doing shots of vodka. And we're like, man, we're just gonna get him trashed. And so Jake and I were just doing shots of water, and we must have did like 15 shots. I mean, this poor guy. I mean, it was getting to the point where he was just like, he was dead on his feet. Like, if you've seen somebody knocked out in boxing where they still throw punches, like, in his mind, like, he was doing the shot, but he was just throwing it over his shoulder. Like, he couldn't even make his face.
He's taking, like, 15 shots of vodka. You guys are just drinking water. I can't figure out why the hell you guys are taking it like a champ.
Jake and I are doing push-ups and jumping jacks.
Meanwhile, later on, I find him hidden in the trees out back, passed out. He went there. He's like, I got to take a piss. He walked back into the trees, like, in the backyard.
Dude, he threw up black.
It never came back.
He threw up black bean soup. When you throw up black tar, that's alcohol poisoning.
And then I drug him out of the trees by one arm.
Oh, yeah. By the way, he was dressed as a woman.
No, so that was a different time.
Oh, it was a different time.
That was the Halloween party. I don't remember which party this was. But I
that
dragged
was by far one of the funniest but meanest pranks I've ever pulled. And
it was terrific.
Strangely satisfying.
I dragged him out of the woods by one arm. And then for a week, he was talking about how his arm hurt and he didn't know why.
Like, but the funny thing is, like, we got, like, when you get drunk and you're trashed, you know it. You're like, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to ride this out. But this man, God bless him, he was trashed and he just kept going. He's like, you know, I'm just going to drink some more. I'm going to keep going. I guess he just saw Jake and I just throwing back water laughing.
It must have been a good occasion for him to drink that much because he was just looking to get wasted. And you guys were
fucking devils is what we were. Devils with pitchforks and fire.
So
laughing.
There you go. That's answer to your question and a little bit of a booze and gone bad story. We need these booze and gone bad stories. So everybody, please send us booze and gone bad
or a synopsis for your horrible movie.
Oh yeah, that's a new. I tried not to do that one too much. I haven't quite figured that one out since it went so horribly last time. If you want to make up your own review for a movie, and
or
it's
not
like,
not review, like a synopsis,
a little
for a
synopsis
film.
About a bad movie, just, you know, three sentences, just. Write that to us. Make sure it's funny.
But it's got to be really funny and something that we'd want to watch. So it'd be like, gingerbread man rapes president, kills daughter, flies astronaut. That makes no sense.
And I also want to address a few things. We've been getting some emails from different people about short films and independent films that want to do, you know, want us to promote their stuff. I am working on that, getting a few interviews and stuff like that. I've been busy and I can't concentrate on too many different things at once. So if you have an email or message out to us on Twitter, I promise I will get back to you at some point. So do not fret. Think we're ignoring you. So I think we've probably hit our time. And I'm getting tired.
I think we've thrown up enough profanity and whatnot.
Jake, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Even though we had several technical issues.
All good.
Yep. All right, James. Anything else you have to say?
No, that's it.
I think I'm gonna go see Ted tomorrow.
I think I'm gonna. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do tomorrow. I'm gonna sleep in tomorrow. Actually,
sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, everyone.
Drink up. Everybody's back.